How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. And to chat all things Hawthorn at the end of our club preview series, I've got Will here today. Will, how's it going?
It's going very, very well. Thank you, Mel. How are you going?
I am good. So let's chat about Hawthorn. They were unexpectedly fantastic last season.
Yeah, they sure were. They basically became a offensive juggernaut, and it was also helped along by a very strong defensive game plan that was implemented by coach Daniel Webster. Bit of talk about how they may have had a slightly easier fixture given they didn't really do a whole lot the previous year, but the stats don't lie. They were a strong team, and they were able to match it or beat most of the better teams throughout the season, with their sole home and away loss being against Adelaide, who we know are always very, very good. Didn't quite pan out in the finals, though. They did go out in straight sets when a few of the better teams did bring the heat. But all in all, a very, very promising season that they'll be hoping to go on with this year.
Yeah, and finishing second on the home and away ladder means they're not going to be able to enjoy an easy fixture this coming season.
That is correct. And I'm hoping that that game style that Daniel Webster's implemented can really keep them set for a good long period of play at the top of the ladder. But we know how hard it is to stay up there. We've seen a couple of clubs drop out of the finals in the last few seasons, such as Geelong, Gold Coast, Sydney. It's tough to stay up there, and they'll be hoping that they can, you know, not fall out of the eight. So making finals will be the big first thing for Hawthorn, but they've got an exciting list and plenty of young talent to lean back on. And they've also managed to get stronger in the offseason. They've picked up premiership defender from Adelaide, Nigel Allen, who brings more experience to an already pretty experienced and strong back line. Keely Coyne, a delisted free agent from the Western Bulldogs, is an interesting one. Drafted as a midfielder, played a bit off half back, unfortunate ACL injury, and looks to possibly be a bit of a steal. We might talk about her a little bit later, as well as several draftees. Grace Bubba, Rebecca Cloddy, Lavinia Cox, Daisy Flockart, and Ellie Simmons. So plenty of young talent going around at the Hawks. In terms of the outs, they lost a bit of their depth, which is always a little bit of a worry, but probably none of the players that they lost are irreplaceable. A couple of young midfielders, Charlotte Baskerin and Matea Breed, out via trades to St Kilda and Collingwood, respectively. Lou Stevenson, veteran utility, heads over to the Western Bulldogs. And Talia Fellows, Sophie Locke, Bridge Deed, and Casey Dumont have all been delisted. So overall, they've kept the bulk of their list together, which should hold them in pretty good stead for the upcoming season.
Yes, and to hear all about how Hawthorn plan to keep it together into the coming season, Jono sat down with Laura Elliott earlier this preseason. Let's have a listen now.
We are very lucky today to be able to interview Laura Elliott from the Hawthorn Hawks. Welcome, Laura. How are you going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm a Hawks fan. I'm very excited by the progress last season. What an incredible year it was. I mean, finishing second under a brand new coach, you don't see that very often. I mean, how has the return been this year, and what are your reflections on such an incredible 2024?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. It was good to be a part of as well. And yeah, the jump we made was pretty significant, thinking of where we came from in 2023. But yeah, going into this year, it's just keep on progressing and getting better and working hard. And technically, we made a massive jump last year, but technically we haven't won a final, or we haven't done really anything in the record books, fair to say. But like, yeah, going into this year, it's obviously that's our main goal, and we know we can get better, a lot better than we were last year. And we reviewed all of that, and yeah, we're working towards hopefully becoming a better finals team and then reaching the end goal.
Yeah, well, it was a devastating finish to the year. I mean, I was feeling that as a fan. I can only imagine how it felt as a player.
Yes, it was pretty devastating. Yeah.
But I suppose just to start this, I don't want to sort of lose track of I suppose what seemed like a revolutionary start to the season. I mean, we have this new game plan, you know, Hawkball, and it became the talking point of the entire league. I know that, you know, everyone outside of it's talking about the speed of ball movement, that sort of thing, but how is it defined inside the club? I mean, what do you guys talk about when you talk about Hawkball?
Yeah, it's interesting, Hawkball. I didn't think it would transfer over to us, that's for sure. I think just like the system that D-Web's got us playing, it's definitely, people like to talk about the speed on the ball and all of that, but I think it really comes off the back of how we set up defensively and how we get the ball in our hands from there and winning the ball at the contest and all of those things. So, yeah, kind of the speed on the ball is the end product, I guess, but definitely our hard work to work defensively is also a key factor in it.
Yeah, and I can see that. It's interesting because it seems like it's such an aggressive game style, but I love that it's based on defense. It's a positive sign, and it really does. You can see it show up in all the stats across the field. I mean, you last season got to sort of cement yourself in that defensive team, and there are also, you know, players like Tilly Lucas Rod, Tamara Smith, who I know have played there before, but I feel like they had a larger role than they've had in previous seasons. Did it feel like? Is it the sort of thing where you now feel like you've got a very strong core and that's going to be holding together, or is it a new mix this year again?
I think we've had some additions like Nigel Allen, we got over Keely Coyne. So, yeah, we had a pretty, towards the end, like a core group in the defence. But I think, yeah, I guess, I don't know, that's up to D-Web and his team and everything. But, yeah, we've got a strong group and we're all always learning off each other. And the good thing about like what D-Webs always says as well is that it's not just about like the defensive line that plays defense and everything. So like when I said that speed on the ball is like the end product of our defense, that's everyone. That's like the forward line, the mids, everyone like that. So yeah, I feel like we've got a good base of all of that now, and our backline group's really tight and got a really good connection. So yeah, it's really positive.
That's great. Yeah. Are there any aspects of your game this year that you're particularly focusing on? You know, I mean, I feel like players are always trying to refine their craft and what they're doing. What's the big focus for 2025?
I think that for me, talking with D-Web and Steph and all that is just becoming a more consistent player. People say like they're specific, like I've got specific things that I need to work on. But I think just becoming consistent with my strengths and my weapons in the game, they come out in spurts and they come here and there. But I feel like, yeah, definitely just becoming a more consistent player and adding consistent value to the team. Yeah, that's definitely one of my goals.
I think, it's tough when you've got a new mix. And you mentioned Najwa Allen and Keely Coyne, I suppose, is sort of a new player because she was injured for all of last season. How have they been tracking this preseason?
Really good. Yeah, they're great people to have in the club as well. Keely was obviously my draft year, so a lot of us girls knew her beforehand, but yeah, she's a great character. She's fit in really well, and an elite player. Yeah, you said like she's missed all of last year, so I think she's ready to play again. And very elite, got a very, very good kick. And the same with Nadj, like just an amazing character and good leader, like a maturer person to bring in. And she definitely knows her footy and yeah, is fit right in again and is an amazing person and player to bring to the team.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear, and it's fun that she's coming from such an experienced squad as well. And I feel like the Hawks have really brought in a lot of talent over the last few years, but I mean, when you're talking about where they're coming from as well, you've now got players from that Adelaide premiership team, from, you know, the D's when they won their premiership, the Lions as well. I feel like it's becoming it must be changing, I suppose, how the environment is that you're all training in.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, when all of like when Batesy and Greta came over and then Westy and Casey last year, like you can, like you learn off them a lot more. And like we were as a women's team, 2 years old and very, very young and as people say, like inexperienced. But yeah, I think learning off them and grabbing things from them to make this culture and build us into a better team, which showed last year, has been really beneficial. So, yeah, it's exciting bringing all those experienced players in from, like, the top clubs that have been at the top since the start of AFLW.
Yeah, it's, I suppose it's a good way to complement that that young core, which I feel like the Hawks have had so much talent the whole time, and it's just sort of starting with that young group and bringing them through. I'm curious as to who's going to be sort of stepping up this season, because there always seems to be five or six. And I can sort of see a couple holes that I'm curious about where, you know, Matea Breed was incredible last year in that midfield, and she's obviously headed off to Collingwood. Same with Charlotte Basker on the wing, heading off to, I think it was the Saints. I mean, are there any players that I suppose have looked like they're stepping into those roles at the start of this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's been a fair few. I mean, we've got like five or so draftees, like, and they've all been really good, just wanting to learn and everything like that. Like, yeah, so there'd be a few there that step into those roles, or even if the roles kind of change or adapt. I mean, we've got Tia was great last year and Kaz was great last year, but we've got a great midfield as well, like, that all these younger players can learn off as well. I mean, they're looking up to players like Batesy and Westy, so that's pretty pretty solid two players to look up to. So yeah,
they're not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not bad. So yeah, I guess that's D-Web's area to look at. But yeah, they're all moving really well and tracking really well to hopefully play some games.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can get a good, run of injury luck, because I feel like last year there was some, like, I don't know, Casey Sheriff, who's come in, was looking to make that impact early, and then, well, you know, I think it was the second round, had to miss the majority of the season from there. Is everyone, you know, fit at the moment? Are we looking good?
Yeah, we're tracking really well. There's always a few things, but actually really, really well. Yeah, there's most people are out on the track and getting there. Everyone's got different loads at this moment as well. There's always, it's the start of pre-season, week five. Like, there's always going to be something little, but everyone's completing training and tracking really, really well for the start of the season. And yeah, it's been a strong pre-season so far. So yeah, having everyone out on the track is really, really good.
Yeah. You mentioned a little earlier that you were surprised that the Hawkball tag had sort of carried over from the men's to the women's. And I've been sort of speculating that there might be another one that's coming as well, which is, you know, the men's team has gone from being the hunter to the hunted. And the Hawks, you know, with their meteoric rise in the AFLW as well, there's a good chance that that's kind of going to be the framing of a lot of games this year. Is that something that the group has spoken about or is expecting?
Not necessarily. Well, I think that we've definitely, I think that it's an interesting one, because all of our conversations have been about that we necessarily haven't really done much yet. Like, we lost two finals. We made finals for the first time, but, like, we lost two finals and we're still chasing as well those top three or four teams. Like, you think about Adelaide, Melbourne, or not necessarily Melbourne last year, but you never know, and then Brisbane, North. Yeah. Like, yeah. You think about those teams, like, they're something we're striving to be better than. And so I think that we haven't necessarily talked about if we're going to be the hunted or whatever. I think we're still chasing to be the best team. So I feel like, and to do that, you got to beat them. So I think versing all of them this year is definitely a positive sign.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose it's a good way of looking at a tougher fixture. I think I suppose if we look at those finals a little bit more, I mean, there's something that the Hawks last season were so good at, was their strong scoring power. I mean, you had 20 different goal kickers across the season, which is just remarkable. In those finals, I suppose there were some inaccuracy issues, but what are the other reflections you've taken out of those games?
I think a lot mentally. I feel like you look at the Brisbane and the Port game, and you think about our, like, mental strength and how we ran out those games. Most of us hadn't played finals, like AFLW finals, like, at all. So you think about that experience, and then it's no excuse to have just because you have no experience. But I feel like we definitely reviewed that and looked at our mental strength and how we ran out the games, and whether we got nervous and, like, weren't playing our brand of footy. So we definitely looked at that and, reviewed that a lot more than technically the execution type things. because that kind of came under it. Like, we looked at, oh, why weren't we playing our way in the last quarter against Port? And it's like, oh, well, mentally we checked out, or we were scared to, like, be aggressive and stuff like that. So, yeah, we definitely looked at a lot more of that in our review, and still talk about it, like, throughout this preseason.
Yeah, no, it's it would be a tough watch, I've got to say, having to look back on those moments. But look, I'm very excited for the Hawks. I really think this is it's a team that's looking like it's gelling so well, and I'm really hopeful that this year we can sort of show that it's not just that one rise, that it's going to be a year for, well, several years of Hawks success. So very hopeful for that. Last question for you, Laura, which is, looking ahead to this season, I'm wondering who has got you most excited watching them, and who looks set for a massive breakout year at the Hawks this 2025 season?
It's a hard one. I feel like there's so many. Like, I look at the draftees and, like, I see Lavinia Cox, and, like, the way she moves, and, like, obviously her basketball background, like, she just looks elite already. So, yeah, like, looking at draftees as well, like, Daisy as well, like, she's a strong body. Like, she could be powerful. Even Ellie, all of those, I feel like all the draftees are tracking well. And I'm trying to give some backline shout-outs. Well, Richo, as always, like, she's such a strong body and so hard to play on in a marking contest. Like, yeah, if anyone wants, whenever after training we're doing extras, we're doing marking contests, I just always want to verse her, even though half the time I'll lose and I'll just get angry and mad. But she's so good to work off. Definitely 100%. I think another one that stands out is, I was about to call her a nickname, but Lucy Wales, Penny, we call her. She's just a star, and the way everything she puts into footy as well, like, she's teaching all of our younger rucks, and she's only 21 herself, 22 herself. So it's like all of that she does. But then, yeah, how she plays and her skill for a ruckman is just insane. So I can't wait to see what she can do. I mean, she was AA in the squad, but I feel like, yeah, she's got another level. So she'll be exciting to watch.
Wow. Yeah.
But there's so many. I feel like I just selected only a little bit, but that'll have to do. But everyone's tracking really well.
No, it's great to hear. Her season last year, Lucy, was incredible. It was so good having her on. And, you know, we were talking early on being like, you know, oh, there's no Tam Luke around this year. You know, you're going to be solo ruck. How are you feeling about that? And, wow, she just blew it away from day one. It was incredible.
Yeah, she's a cool, calm and collected girl. She wouldn't have been that stressed, but she's amazing.
Yeah, round one, it's only Bree Moody and Jess Good. Don't worry about it.
She's so chill. Like, that's like how she does it though. Like, she's so chill, calm, but like, she does the work, so she can be like that. So
That's great to hear. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And look, very excited for the Hawks again. And I wish you every success. I'm hoping I'll be watching you again in finals come the end of the year.
Yes, I hope so. Thanks for having me on.
No, anytime. Thank you.
Interesting chat, and I know Jono absolutely loved it, being such a big Hawthorn supporter. What were your key takeaways?
I do find it funny saying Lucy Wales being the, I suppose, breakout player is not quite the right word, given a very, very strong season last year, but we know how good the Wales sisters are, so it's fantastic. It just sounds like they're hoping to carry on the momentum from last year, which is absolutely understandable, so I think they'll be a really exciting team to watch this year.
Yeah, it was interesting how Laura was saying that the Hawks still see themselves as the hunters, because, I mean, with their coming up against the top four where they finished, you compare them to like North, Brisbane and Adelaide, who all have 40 plus games of experience each under their belt. And then you've got little old Hawthorn there with less than 30 games of experience per player. So, I mean, they will be hunted this season because they finished so high on the ladder, but yeah, they're still kind of a league apart from those top dogs.
Yeah, those main three have been the clear standouts for a long, long time. And as good as Hawthorn are, I think most people will be trying to get into that sort of sphere with North, Adelaide and the Lions as well. But a lot of teams, as we said, it's hard to stay up there in finals. A lot of teams will be trying to hunt them down and take their spot in the finals. So it's gonna take a lot of work for them to stay up there, but they probably have the team that can do it.
And one of the key players of that team that can do it, let's chat about TLR.
Yeah, so Tilly Lucas Rod, fantastic season last year. They had their first All-Australian. The move to halfback was pretty much a fantastic move by Daniel Webster. They'd been playing mostly as a midfielder for most of their career, but the move to the halfback line gave them so much drive, really steadying influence back there, and comes into this year as the second highest averaging defender. So it'll set you back just over $1 million with an average of 80.5. I don't see any reason why they won't continue to be one of, if not the top scoring defenders. Tilly Lucas Rod was my pick for the highest averaging defender going into this year.
Mm.
Matty Gay has unfortunately looked like to have done some sort of a knee injury in the preseason, which doesn't help her case, obviously. But if Matty Gay is going to miss some, or hopefully not, but potentially all of the season, you know, we will be looking for a top line defender. I think that's Tilly Lucas Rod.
Yeah, I think you made a really strong case when you spoke about Tilly Lucas Rod in the first Defenders episode, but then hearing Matty Gay potentially being out just makes it even more compelling. Although I do wonder, I think we saw Tilly Lucas Rod push onto the half forward line during the practice match. I mean, going from midfield to back line to forward line, does this kind of versatility and, I guess, utility play help or hinder their scoring?
If that's genuine, I think it's a hinder. I'm not sure it will become the real stuff. They were beating Richmond pretty convincingly in that practice match, and I think they were probably just trying out a few things. Najwa Allen probably is a similar sort of player to Tilly Lucas Rod, but after the campaign that TLR had last year, I don't see why you'd be moving them away from where they played such great football, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I put my number two as our breakout star for this year. But yeah, Lucy Wales, in that sort of premium band of rucks, obviously still a significant way down from Min Strom, but an 82.4 average, 1,067,000. It's a pretty good price point for a cheaper premium ruck. And at Lucy Wales' age, there's improvement to come. I think there's definitely a bit of upside to Lucy Wales. I think an average of 90 isn't off the cards. The ruck role is a really difficult one, as we know, and to fill that spot in your fantasy team, I personally think that going for a slightly cheaper premium option like this is a really challenging thing to fit into your team, because you're not necessarily getting value and you're not getting the highest scorer. But I do think Lucy Wales is a player that over the next few seasons will fairly consistently be in that top five conversation for the Rock.
Yeah, I can definitely see this as a kind of multi-season play. When we did our top fives for, well, top, yeah, five for the Rock, Lucy was just missed out, made it to the honourable mentions. But mostly just because there is, like you said, maybe 8-10 points of headroom, but not this phenomenal headroom that we might see in some of the other rucks due to injury returning. But the thing I like about Lucy Wales is that her scoring has increased season on season, going from 59 to 65 to 78. That's a great trajectory. If that carries on to this season, woo, there you go. You're going to have something high up there in the 80s or 90s. And her tackle scores are also fantastic. We know tackles are great for rucks, and I mean, well, tackles are great for all fantasy points, but to be the second highest tackling ruck after Mim Strom is pretty impressive. So, and like you said, she's young. She's only 22. She's the solo ruck. She's being looked upon for her expertise. There's only her upside is largely going to be in personal development and experience as she grows. Is it going to be this year that is her breakout, or another year? Not too sure, but yeah, she's got good things coming for her, Lucy Wales.
Yeah, agreed. My number three player is our favourite M1, Emily Bates. Emily Bates had a bit of a down season by her lofty standards, averaged just 84 last year. So we'll set you back, again, just over $1,000,088. Look, Emily Bates is an elite player, arguably the most important cog in that Hawthorn side, and had a few down games last year, whether it was from being tagged or just, you know, general down games as players have. Those 60s drag her average down, but otherwise was very consistently hitting the 90-plus scores. So if you think that natural improvement of some of the other players going around in Hawthorn's team, as we've mentioned, there's plenty of young players who are going to continue to develop. If they can take some of the attention away from Emily Bates, Bates could, you know, jump another 10 points and be a value midfield option. We know that chasing value is something that we're always looking out for. Could be a really interesting one.
Yeah, and we saw her max last season get back to those kind of like season six heights. I think she had a ceiling of 127 last season, which was her best yet by 1 point. But, you know, so it shows that she's still really got it. And priced at, what did you say? 84. Yeah, ceiling of 127 is very nice on top of that.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't really appreciate about Batesy until I looked a bit harder at her stat line is that she is a free against beast. She is... Where do you reckon she's ranked in the competition for free against last season?
Well, Paige Scott will be number one, so...
Yeah. She's actually only two behind Paige Scott, but Scott is not one.
I'm guessing top five?
Seventh, which is wild given that she's, you know, 12 games. That's a lot to average over. But, yeah, lots of frees against, so that'll be a bit of a hindrance on the scoring side. But other than that, that's the only downside I have to plus one everything else you've mentioned about Batesy. And I love just thinking about the throwbacks we had to when she moved to Hawthorn, and it was like a lock for M1. Maybe not so much a lock for M1 anymore, but yeah, a good consistent player.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of you know, value, a player that we mentioned earlier was Keely Coyne coming over from the Western Bulldogs, and I put Keely as my number four player. Defender, priced at only 469K, didn't play last year due to injuries, did an unfortunate ACL injury in the middle of 2023. When they're having a bit of a breakout year, they were scoring some decent points and averaging about 50 off halfback for the Dogs. And if she can break into this strong Hawks backline, could present some significant value. We've been on the lookout for some cash cow options in that backline. I think there's a bit there in Keely Coyne. Very talented junior. Showed a little bit in the practice match as well. I think that if you're looking for a good sort of D5 option, Keely Coyne's a player that you might be considering.
Yeah, I like that price range as well. It's really nicely positioned to have someone that's not quite a rookie at your D5 to save a rookie for the bench, but someone that's also got, you know, 15 points of upside purely just because... I think her max before her injury or something was 51, and she's priced at 30, or her average before her injury was 51, and she's priced at, yeah, 36. Yeah, so that's a great value right there if she comes back in playing fit. How do you think her, like, this was all when she was playing at the Bulldogs, how do you think the transition to Hawthorn affects her scoring of that 51 average we saw from her previously?
Well, we know Hawthorn do like to move it off halfback, and they like to move it quickly. I think that the way Hawthorn look to play suits halfbacks. We saw that with Chile Lucas-Rod. We saw Tamara Smith have a pretty good season. We know that they've got several players that can do that. And I think Keely Coyne in this case presents just another young, strong option that they can run through there. And originally drafted as a midfielder, she knows how to get the ball. She's clean. I think there's a really good value just for Hawthorn in general, not necessarily for our fantasy teams. I think this could be a really, really shrewd bit of recruiting.
Yeah, I think so too. I like it. And then also playing off halfback potentially for your pick five?
Yes, I was going to say sticking in the back line for number five, we've got Jenna Richardson, average of 61 last year, priced at 790K. Very unlucky to not be All-Australian last year, let's be honest. The intercept queen of the AFL, Jenna Richardson, basically was dragged down by some really low scores at the start of the year before Hawthorn really started clicking into gear. Started the year with two scores of 30 and two 40s, which dragged her average down, which hides the sort of nine-match streak in the middle of the year where she didn't score below 55. So averaged 66 through the middle of the year when Hawthorn were absolutely flying. That's the sort of consistency that you absolutely dream of. So I think there's a little bit of value there, maybe 5 points worth of upside. I think Jenna Richardson's the sort of player that you could whack at your D3 and then she'll just stay there for the whole year, score your fairly decent points.
Yeah, it's the best of both worlds. There's value because she's got those few bundles of low scores in there, but then also consistency. When she's on a roll, she's on a very consistent and good scoring roll for a fantasy point. So I think this is a great pick as well. I noted that, like, compared to season 8, where she was taking a lot of kick-ins, in season 9 she kind of was less so much in that kick-in role, but still increased her kicks per game, probably because she was, like, fifth in the competition for intercepts. So really nice kind of role there. Intercept, kick it on, beautiful for fantasy scoring. I guess my only concern might be if there's a lot of talent potentially rolling through all in a similar role, if there's someone that doesn't necessarily get the fantasy share. Do you think there's a concern that having picked Tilly Lucas-Rod, Keely Coyne and Jenna Richardson that it's like best two of three, or do you think there's potential for all three of them to coexist?
I think there's potential for all three of them to coexist, but there are a lot of cooks in that kitchen back there. And I think that someone who might be a bit more likely to drop out of theirs, maybe like a Tamara Smith, who was very good at intercepting, but probably not as strong on the run and gun like a Keely Coyne might be. Jenna Richardson was the key interceptor. They've got plenty of sort of mid to small size defenders back there. It's just going to be how they manage that around Mackenzie Eardley or an Emily Everest. I think Mackenzie Eardley ended up playing a lot of time forward, I guess, because they, you know, had so many good defenders. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see who does get all the roles in that Hawthorn back line. And I guess with that in mind, there is a little bit of risk involved with a lot of the Hawthorn defenders. But I think that there's points to be had in that Hawthorn back line. And I think Tilly Lucas-Rod, very safe option. I think the other ones will all score perfectly well. It's just a matter of whether you get the value out of them or whether they're just consistently scoring, you know, 55, 60, which is fine, but not really anything to write home about.
Sorry, I feel like I'm asking a lot of big questions rather than just listening. But no, this all makes sense. And I'm asking because I'm curious. Like, Hawthorn is a bit of a mystery to me still.
Mm. Well, the big question, I guess, then is who is the Mel special?
Yes, so for the Mel special, I've gone with Jazz Fleming, who is a midfielder priced just under $1 million for an average of 75.8. The reason why I picked her is we saw her reach 100 fantasy points last season in a phenomenal game against Melbourne where she had 20-something plus disposals, 3 tackles and a goal. So absolutely huge all-round performance, and that amongst her other games last season saw her increase her average from 60 in season 8 to 76 in season 9. So that is a good 15 points right there. I think the reason why she's an interesting pick is that her role last season saw her competing quite a lot in the CBAs. So she was in about 46% of the CBAs and very consistent. Like, she was in a decent share every single game. But we know that Mateo Breed has left this season to go to Collingwood, and Mateo was in 63% of CBA, so kind of a larger share. Is there more potential for Jazz Fleming in Hawthorn's midfield now to be kind of the lock of the third on-baller at Hawthorn? And will that have a substantial increase on her fantasy scoring? I think so, and I think that we've already kind of seen Jazz Fleming as that third consistent midfielder in the Pracky games, along with, you know, Batesy and Eliza West. So I think if we see her with that consistent CBA role, consistent performance as a lock at Hawthorn, she has the potential to be hitting those hundreds more and more regularly, which can have a pretty decent upside on her scoring. I can see her potentially going another 15 points again, up to 90 this season. Her role sounds solid. Her personal development sounds solid. I think that, I think she's a pretty decent upside lock.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's purely based on, does she get those CBAs? And I tend to agree with you. I think the answer is yes, because if there's one area that Hawthorn's probably lacking at the moment, it is that midfield depth, having lost Baskerin and Mateo Breed. And Jazz Fleming, such a talented player. It seems like such an obvious one to happen, is to her to be that next midfielder in, to get the outside release handballs from Eliza West, use her pace to burst from the stoppages. I really hope that this one does come to be, because it would be so fun to watch just from a footballing perspective. But as you said, there's a potential for 15 points of upside.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see. Her price is quite expensive, and there's a lot of other mids at that price range. But yeah, I think she could be a good one to slot into your side. And that kind of rounds out Hawthorn. We've got a lot in the back line, ruck, and a couple of mids to choose from there. So hope everyone enjoyed this one. And we'll chat to you more for our final club episode coming next. Bye.
Bye.